Along with the agenda, the other primary textbook in pastoral theology has to be Luther's Large Catechism. And don't overlook the preface. But more to the point now with baptism. We have become accustomed in the last 30 years, Vatican II and onwards, of talking, of using most unfortunate language when it comes to baptism. And it's language that Luther actually rejected, in a way. I mean, he rejected it, but he rejected the language wasn't there then, really, but it, in one sense it is, or it was. And that is simply talking about baptism in terms of initiation. That's exactly what you had going on with a medieval understanding of baptism. And you see Luther go after that as early as on the Babylonian Captivity of the Church, where baptism simply gets you started. It's the first step in the sacramental spectrum. And when you get to Luther in the Large Catechism on baptism, what do you have Luther saying? That baptism, that the whole Christian life is nothing other than an approach and a return to baptism. The Anglican scholar who's written a book on Luther's theology of baptism, mainly based on Genesis commentaries, Jonathan Trigg, makes the point that for Luther, the theology of baptism is the circularity of the Christian life. You never get over your baptism. And that when Luther speaks of returning to your baptism or remembering your baptism, he's not simply speaking of trying to remember what happened at the in the liturgical rite, but rather it's the life of repentance and faith. And that's finally where pastoral care has to engage. That pastoral care is not simply a fix-it service. There are a lot of things that we simply can't fix about the lives of our parishioners. A lot of things that won't get fixed until the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. But genuine evangelical Lutheran pastoral care attends to the life of repentance and faith. And that means it is going to be engaged at these two points of faith and love. And this undertaking of pastoral care has to do then with the first commandment. Who is being feared, loved, and trusted above all things in the particular circumstances and situations of suffering, death, conflict, unreconciled differences in marriages and families, and so forth. And I would further suggest that for Luther then, where pastoral care and liturgy theologically converge is at the point of the first commandment. That Luther's, you want to understand Luther's theology of liturgy, Large Catechism, under the first commandment. And what he says there about worship has its application then for the pastor in the care of souls. Question or comment over there? Okay. I mentioned yesterday that the agenda is the primary text for pastoral theology for us. That it is, if you want a manual of pastoral theology, it's really the agenda. Let me say a couple of things about that today, and then tomorrow and Friday we'll look at several of the rites of pastoral care in the agenda. I'm on the agenda committee for the 2007 hymnal, as is Pastor Bender, so this would also might be a time that you would want to ask some questions about what the agenda might look like, even though at this time neither Bender or myself are exactly completely sure. because it's a long process, but we can talk perhaps a bit about what we see as important in the in the agenda. And one of the things that we do see important in the agenda is to provide some commentary and some notes at a level somewhat deeper than the notes provided in the Lutheran worship agenda. Larry, you mentioned yesterday the Australian book. That's a book that we are looking at, and one of the very helpful features of the Australian book is it does provide, I think, about a 20-page introduction to the understanding of these rites of pastoral care, and much of that introduction was written by John Kleinig, and then the rites that are in the book are given not only an exposition in terms of this is how you do it in terms of rubrics, but some kind of explanation of the theology of the rites. And that's one of the things we are hoping for in the agenda that will accompany the hymnal of 2007, that it would be a book that could be used more easily as a seminary text in pastoral theology. And it would be a book that pastors could use as they serve their people. So if you have some questions about the agenda, feel free to raise them. Maybe I'll just take a moment here to do that before we turn to the current agenda. Yes.
One of the things that I appreciate as I think people where they're lives and
Yeah.
On the back. I don't know if there was intention to expand or keep or get rid of. I thought about the title of the college and prayer.
Yeah. We are going to have the agenda really in two editions. There will be the non-portable and the portable edition. Well, we got the little agenda. The portable edition will probably be a book more along this size. And what we are hoping to do with that is include including a section called Ministry to Individuals, I think is the current nomenclature. And I didn't bring any of the samples that we've worked up to this point. But we would have any number of situations that the pastor might encounter, from dealing with somebody who is suffering from various kinds of addictions, to the breakup of a marriage, to persons struggling with sexual temptation. I mean, we're going to have a long list of circumstances. And we will include some suggested scripture readings, psalms, hymns, and collects that would be appropriate to those circumstances. And so I think it will be in that sense much fuller than what we have now, and much more directed. Okay. And again, this will come out as part of a field test process, and so you will have opportunity to use it or to make it a topic for your Circuit Winkel conference for study and discussion, or the suggestion of other passages of scripture. And right now we are actually circulating the material and asking some seasoned, experienced pastors to kind of go through it and see if there are empty spots where additional scripture, psalmody, hymnody could be used. And so that's one of the things that we're hoping to kind of expand in the agenda. And I think even to the point of printing out some of the scripture passages and psalms, one of the difficulties with this book is that it's not self-standing. You need to take a Bible and maybe even a hymnal if you're going to use it. And we want a book that the pastor can have in his coat pocket and you know, have it simply there so he doesn't have to fumble between two or three different books. And so we're going to, I think our plan at this time, and as I said, everything is contingent on commission on worship and convention approval and so forth, but I think our plan at this time is to actually have scripture verses, at least some key scripture passages, psalm verses or psalms, and hymn stanzas printed in the book itself. And we're finding also, and I this was again my experience as a pastor in Minneapolis, had a number of women who had miscarriage, but really didn't want anyone else in the congregation to know about that. But wanted something from the pastor in terms of, you know, closure to that. And so again, the Australian book has a very good right in that regard, and that could simply be used by the pastor and the couple or immediate family. We're going to be including something like that, I think, too. Peter,
I can bring my binder.
Oh, okay.
Tomorrow,
yeah.
To show you a little bit more specifically examples, but I think the way it's shaping up, the two forms of the new agenda would be revolutionary for us. We're not talking about a few additional colors.
Yeah.
We're talking about a plethora.
And
super abundant cornerless. Hopefully, you have a sort of, and all lay at your fingertips. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Growth and search.
Yeah.
The college alone, I think, for all of these days of the pastoral care will probably increase 500% over what we've got right now.
Yeah, and again, one of the main achievements, I think, of the book is, Pastor Bender said, will not simply be more stuff, but a new orientation. And I would suggest, I think it's fair to say, at this point at least, that the orientation of the book is very much along the lines of what we've been talking about here today.
Many of us feel that in terms of the whole hymnal project, for its acceptance by the Synod, the first thing to do would be to give this to the pastors as a kind of resource.
Yeah. Travis and John.
I had a question about that before too. Sosa talks about that in one of the weekly tests there, the weekly tests, the sacrament.
Yeah, so I say on baptism, yeah.
And I did a pretty good job of handling it because I was a little alarmed when I first read that too. Yeah, that John sometimes does that. So
yeah. Yes, that's a question that's being discussed, and I think it's assumed that by the time we get to 2007 that the technology will be there and there will be a way of providing that.
Yeah.
There is a story, it's allegedly not a simply an ecclesiastical legend, but a true story of a pastor who had the funeral service, you know, in the computer, and does the word search, take out one word, add the other, and the last person who had been buried had the name Mary, and then they were doing the service for an Edna, and did the, you know, replace all Marys with Edna, and so they got to the creed and born of the Virgin. So be careful with technology. It's not always your friend. Yeah. Ted.
You know, the effort going to be made to put this book into especially Spanish, but perhaps some of the other languages that the Senate is involved with here?
I would hope that would come. I don't know what the...
2007, that's a question I would...
Yeah. The first step is to get the book finished, and as you might be aware, the Synod has a procedure for approving liturgical materials, and so everything has to be done in time to take it to the 2004 convention. And if after the 2004 convention signs off, if they do sign off, then there would be approximately 3 years to get it in print, and I would think at that point people who are involved in Hispanic ministry would need to urge that translators be assigned and it start to, and that happen.
But that's not happening now.
As far as I know, it's not. Do you know anything about that, Peter, from our meetings? I haven't heard of any.
Well, it's part of the difficulty. I do not think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In English, making adjustments and modifications. So until we have a text from which to translate anything,
right?
From
it would just be premature because it could be all undone. I mean, we do our works as committee, but the commission has to sign off, and the committees and the commission don't always agree. Yeah. Translation committee is still debating the Bible translation. I would say at this point the ESV is probably the front runner, but that's not a firm decision. Our decision hasn't been made. I know that's Catechism, the 86th translation of the Catechism will be used. Tomorrow I want to look at some of the specific rites of pastoral care, looking at some a variety of things. For example, I want to look at how you might use the marriage rite in what we have typically called pre-marriage counseling. I would suggest that you might want to rephrase it, pre-marriage catechesis. How you might use the marriage rite as part of your premarital work with couples. I want to look at commendation of the dying. I want to look at the funeral rite in relation to holy baptism. And so we'll try to look at some of these rites tomorrow and Friday. And Peter, if you could bring that your material. I didn't bring the entire binder that we have of materials that we currently have either ready or nearly ready for the agenda, but bring that and we can show that to the brethren as well.